We come to the end of St. Matthew's Gospel. Next Sunday, we will be hearing the story of the final judgment and the Son of Man coming on a throne with all the angels and dividing up the people of the earth as a shepherd would divide sheep from goats. Today's gospel reading immediately precedes that in the story of Matthew. And there are two other parables that precede today's gospel at the final part of St. Matthew's. All of them speaking about the qualities of those who are to be servants of the Lord, disciples of the Lord. There's a story which suggests that the quality of watchfulness is terribly important for a disciple. The quality of patience is very much needed by the disciple. And in today's gospel, the quality of industriousness and generosity is to mark the disciple. If you're an author and you're bringing a story to completion and you're about to write the final chapter, you're going to make sure that you state very clearly the key points you want to make so that the story doesn't end and the reader not know what you're trying to say. And so it is with Matthew. As the story ends, as the lessons about discipleship come to a close, Matthew makes it very clear. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you are to live by patience. For the coming of the kingdom is not in our hands, but in the plan of God. You are to live watchfully. You are to see the signs of the times. You are to live with your eyes wide open. You are not to allow yourselves to be lulled into complacency. And thirdly, you're to accept the gifts that have been given and use those gifts creatively, generously, enthusiastically, for the good of God and the good of one's neighbor. And that's really what the story is about today. The story is about a principle of the spiritual life. That what is given by God grows and multiplies to the degree that that gift is shared and given away. To the degree that that gift is hoarded, held tightly, clutched close, that gift evaporates. That gift disappears. The gift is given to be given. And the remarkable truth about God's generosity is when the gifts that he blesses us with are the gifts we share, those gifts increase geometrically. And as the words in the gospel say, as the master says, those who have been given much, they will receive more until they grow rich. Now, what is the purpose of the giving of the gift? The giving of the gift is that you and I might be partners in the work of salvation, that we might be partners in the bringing about of the kingdom. And our sharing that gift is to announce the presence and the power and the goodness of God The way that we speak the truth of God is by sharing the gift we have received. When you read a book, there are images in the beginning of the book that tie together with images at the end of the book. The book is a unity. The book has integrity. The book is to be read as one. And there's an image very early in Matthew that really ties into this story at the end. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. So must your light shine, so that those who see your good works may give glory to your Father in heaven." Well, the light that we have been given is the gift with which God has blessed us. And the way that light shines is when that gift is given, when that gift is shared. And the result of that is that others will see the goodness and the glory of God. Now, the gift is to be shared without any expectation of return. The gift is best shared when the gift is shared anonymously. The gift is meant to be shared without any self-motivation or any self-interest. The gift is to be clearly offered to another. It is to be done generously. And it can be done in great ways and in very simple ways. What it demands, though, is that one is able to take the eyes off themselves and focus their eyes on the other. It demands a self-forgetfulness. I have a very simple story about an event that occurred early last week. On Tuesday, there was a funeral here at 12 o'clock noon. Tuesday was also a day in which there was early dismissal at the local high school, Humboldt Junior and Senior High School. I was here preparing for the funeral, and about 20 minutes to 12, as I was standing in the back room, three very tall, broad-shouldered, athletic, young adolescents came into the room, clearly basketball players. Each one of them at least 6'2" or 6'3". They were 10th graders from Humboldt High School. They were on their way home because it was early dismissal. One of them lived on George Street. One lived over by Boys and Girls Club, and I can't remember where the third one lived. They were all West Side kids. They needed to use the washroom. That's why they came into the church. So as one of the fellows went into the washroom, the other two stayed there and talked, and I engaged them in some conversation. We talked about school. We talked about what they were doing in school. They had no idea what this church was about, and they had no idea who I was. The opening remark was, "Are you the Pope?" And I told him, "Not at all." And he didn't seem troubled by that. At some point, one of the young men said, "Who died?" And I said to them who the person was. And they said, "He really must be old." And I said, well, you know, he's only 66, and that's my age, and I don't think that's so old. And then one of the young men said, you know, we should stay. We should express our respect. My grandma told me that when someone dies, even if you don't know them, you have to show respect. And so he turned to his other two friends and he said, I think you should stay too. And all three of them agreed. And then they came out and they took the last chairs in the last row. And they sat there for that hour to show respect. No one knew they were there, and they knew nobody else in the church. They had no idea who the deceased was or who the family was. They had no connection at all. What they did do, though, is they sought to show respect to that family. They sought to do it anonymously. They sought to take an hour's time out of their free afternoon to sit here rather than to go on and do something else. They sought to give a gift, their presence and their care. Obviously, the gift that they have received from their families. And then at the end, they just got up and they walked out the door. And my guess is that apart from me, nobody else knew they were here. And nobody else knew that they had left. It's a small thing, but it's a parable. It's a parable about giving the gift. And that's what Jesus is saying in the parable today. The gift you have received, give that gift. And when you do, what you receive is far more than you have ever given.